Hi everyone, welcome back to Kata Mita.
Today we're talking about open season because it's time for enrollment for health insurance. And this is something that we were doing today and thought that it'd be a good topic for us to talk about to just help everybody navigate through this time.
Yeah, I'm really lucky I have someone like Zuby who's so educated on these topics to help me get through this. I know that I would have been really overwhelmed and confused if I were trying to do it on my own. And honestly, as with my personality type, like, you know, I would just keep procrastinating and put it off and probably miss open enrollment. So
yes,
that's why this is probably a pretty good timely thing to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. And depending on where you work, open enrollment can be, you know, 2 weeks long to a month long. So you definitely want to pay attention to those timeframes that HR will send you. But the tricky part is you don't know exactly what insurance options are available to you until open enrollment starts. So I actually create a spreadsheet, of course, because I am that maximizer, and it really can be overwhelming, and it's very easy to get that analysis paralysis when you're looking at your options. So this is something that Yusuf and I actually did today when we were looking at his options, and he only had three options, but some places, like the one I work at, will give you anywhere from 30 to 60 different options or a marketplace. Just what we thought about doing was kind of navigate through how you can ask questions to yourself and create whatever system you want to help compare the options and just talk through it.
Yeah. So my first question is a little more general, kind of taking it back to how, you know, like, I am this free bird 27-year-old who doesn't always necessarily prioritize things like this.
Sure.
And like I said, I'm super lucky I have someone like you to kind of light that fire under my ass and remind me about stuff like this. But I do feel like there's probably a lot of folks, you know, even younger than me, around my age, especially who are, like, just coming off their parents' health insurance. Yes. I never really thought about it before, and they get super overwhelmed and confused easily, like I do.
Yeah.
So can you kind of explain why this is so important to just prioritize and make sure you get it taken care of and properly?
Yes, I can. I love lecturing people, so this is great. So you just mentioned a lot of really good points. So especially if you are younger, in that like 20 to 27-year-old time frame, a lot of the health insurance is now basically kick you off your parents' insurance at 26 years old. 26 is great because I think it was younger before the Affordable Care Act, but you've got till about 26 years old. Or if you get married, then you get kicked off too. So just keep that in mind.
Thank God I've always been single.
Yeah, so just keep that
always,
in mind.
Please, someone. Anyone.
So 26 years old, you know, just kind of like start preparing, that frontal lobe is developed. Start using it to choose your insurance plan. You also mentioned something else. So you're looking at things that, what I want to help you do is kind of guide you to what's the best plan for you. So when you talked about prioritizing, so prioritizing health insurance, because a lot of people are like a paycheck from being broke. Mm-hmm. And anybody that has unfortunately been to the ER and then stuck with a huge bill afterwards, which we can have a whole other podcast episode about and probably will, will tell you that that can be a real setback if you're not prepared for it. So choosing the right health insurance can help sort of mitigate that and prepare you for that. So one of the things that I did with Yusuf was sit down and say, okay, what are the expected health and, you know, health costs, sort of costs and expenses that you're going to have that you know for sure are going to probably happen this year, like a primary care visit with an annual physical. And if you're on medications, what medications you're on, and then we'll, you know, cut to that, why we do that. Maybe one or two sick visits, you know, so what the urgent care price would be, et cetera. Like if you see a specialist, like, you know, whatever. Maybe you need to see a specialist for something like an ophthalmologist because you have a specific need to, you know, get your eyes checked a certain way, or you want to go to the dermatologist to get some stuff done. You want to factor that in. So going back to, again, the priority and health insurance, it is really important to pay attention to the nuances and the nitty-gritty of this. So that includes the dates of open enrollment,
right,
but also something as simple as paying attention to if you're choosing self or self plus one or self plus spouse or self plus family. And I say this because I know somebody who didn't choose self plus family, and so their family was uninsured. And so these things happen. All that to say, these things happen, so pay attention.
Right, and like for me, like, you know, if I had just, you know, been nonchalant and picked the cheapest plan or whatever just to get it done and move on with my life without looking into these nuances, you know, like I could end up paying a ridiculous amount of money for, like, my medication. So, like, It is important to make sure you are doing that research. Oh, okay, what drugs am I on? What tier are they? And how is this going to look under my insurance plan options?
Yeah, totally. So so talking about that, you know, even going back to the self plus one, self plus family, you want to make sure that you're looking at that the right way and choosing the right one. And one of the things I want to point out here that's like a little bit of a nuance is that sometimes self plus family sometimes is cheaper than self and spouse or self plus one. So, again, just one of those nuances, things to pay attention to when it comes to pricing. So one of the first things that, you know, we sat down and did was we looked at what the options were. And USIF's options were pretty limited, so it, in a way, it made it easy, and they, you know, and because he's self, like, it was not crazy expensive, but gosh, the ranges were from, like, 100 to, if you're doing self, to self plus family, to, like, over $700 bi-weekly. So those are just with three choices, so you can imagine when you have multiple choices how easy it is to be kind of like throw your hands up in the air almost,
right?
You know, level of frustration. So USIF, what kind of questions, like, what did you know going into choosing a plan? What were your thoughts? Like, how were you going to choose? Like,
I didn't really have a plan. I was kind of freaking out about it, to be honest. Yeah. My plan was call Zumi. And no, I probably, like I said earlier, like I probably would have laissez-faire picked the cheapest looking option.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't even understood which the cheapest option was because, you know, like you said earlier, something you mentioned to me is like, you know, you end up paying the money. It just depends where you're paying the money.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, please
do. It's insurance. Somebody's making buku money somewhere. So a lot of the time, the math is really like, how much are you going to pay up front versus how much are you going to pay later? You're going to pay one way or the other.
You're going to pay.
So the thing is like, if you have a higher premium, you may have a lower copay and a lower deductible. So if you have a lower premium, you'd probably have a higher copay and a higher deductible. So the opposite, basically. So there's high deductible plans where you might have a low premium, but higher copays or a much, much higher deductible. Some of that does sort of equalize out in the end, but it depends on the front end or the back end. Where are you paying that money? And that is going to really be individual to your financial picture. So do you have a lot of savings in the bank? Do you need to bring in a lot of money each paycheck? So if you know that you need to bring in a whole lot of money in each paycheck, as much as possible, you probably want a lower premium because that premium is going to come out of your paycheck. So let's say you have a $100 premium versus a $500 premium, right? So like your paycheck, instead of being, let's just be simple, like $1,000. If it's $1,000 every 2 weeks,
right,
you're getting $900 coming home to you, or you're getting $500 coming home to you. So that's something you need to look at as to what's going to work, you know, for your family, for yourself, whoever. The other thing is that when you go see the doctor, how much do you want to, or how much can you pay for that visit?
Right.
So that's where the deductibles come in and the co-pays come in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a deductible, you have to meet that deductible before your co-pay starts. And then what's your co-pay? So if you have a couple of diseases and you have to see the doctors a lot, or you have to see the specialists a lot, that's something you want to factor in when you're looking at your plans. Like, what's the cost for a specialist visit? If one plan is $10 versus another plan that's $100, and you know you're going to go like 3 to 5 mm-hmm. times a year,
right?
That's kind of where I nerd out on this stuff, you know, and I put a spreadsheet together. That's where I kind of like those spreadsheets, because we'll sit down, we'll think about the different expenses. So I'll do this. I'll sit down and be like, okay, I've got kids. So I know I'm going to have like 2 to 5 sick visits probably a year, right? How much are those sick visits going to cost? We're going to all have physicals. Most of those are free for most insurance plans. Most preventative care is free. We might have, we're going to have dental cleanings, right? We're going to each have 2 dental cleanings a year. We might have eye exams. So just kind of taking a look at that. My son gets OT, you know, privately. So, you know, how much does that visit cost? If you want to get acupuncture, some insurance plans will cover that or give you a discounted gym membership. So looking at the things that are important to you and your family, are some of the things that you can kind of make a column for, or however you want to organize your thoughts on it. But sort of sit down and do that, and then go to the plan and do the math. So mm-hmm. Yusuf, what you and I did.
Yeah, like maybe you should talk about like how we calculated those premiums and for the different options and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it was a little confusing to me as a noob.
So we basically look at that biweekly premium, and usually they'll show you an option of biweekly or monthly. So what, you know, whatever's going to be easier for you. But biweekly, I looked at the premium and then times by 26, right? Because there's 26 pay periods in a year. So let's say the one premium was $100, mm-hmm. then you do 100 times 26, so $2,600. So you kind of have that in your mind for, let's say, the low plan. And then the next plan is, let's say, $135. So mm-hmm. we did that times 26,
right?
And whatever that was, like 3,500 or something.
Yeah, whatever.
Then you take the next tier, which is the high plan, which is, I don't know, let's say $145. And times it by 26. So what this tells you is the premiums, what's coming out of your paycheck every year to pay to have the insurance plan. And then we looked at the plans and said, like, okay, what's the difference, you know, between low, medium, and high? And is it worth it to pay more money for that high plan? Like, is it going to cut your cost for the things that you're going to use the insurance for?
Mm-hmm.
So we look at tier one medications, and they were all the same copays, $10.
Right.
So we're like, okay, no difference there.
Which made it kind of easier.
Yeah, definitely made it easier, because mine are not like that. Sometimes it's like 5%, 15%, $10, 20%, and you're like, okay, what does that mean? So it can make it harder to do the math on that, but you know, if you're taking an expensive medication or a specialty medication, it's worth it to do the math on those. And then we looked at something like, you know, primary care visit. Those are usually cheap or free, depending mm-hmm. on your plans. And then a specialist visit, for example.
Right.
So let's say you want to go to...
like someone like me, like I have a history of kidney stones, so I might want to go follow up with a urologist, you know?
Exactly.
So like that was something particular that I was like, okay, that's something I should take into account.
So like, let's say we needed that like one specialist visit a year, then that could range from $35 to like $70 per visit.
Mm-hmm.
So again, those were all the same number on his options, which honestly, this was the easiest way to like, this was the easiest plan choices I've ever done because we had such limited options. But that's kind of how you think through it. So again, for me, I would look at those different options. Is it a $25 specialty copay? Is it $35? Is it 5%? Is it, you know, 35% or something?
I also remember you mentioning when we were looking through our options, you had mentioned like, oh, there's no high deductible option here.
Yeah.
And then you had also noted that there was no options for health savings accounts, flexible savings accounts.
Yeah. So let's take a minute to talk about that. So for a lot of people, and I would include Yusuf in this, if you're pretty young or you're just pretty healthy and don't have a lot of like chronic stuff and you're young, so you want to save for retirement, an HDHP, so high deductible health plan with an HSA, which is a health savings account, is often a really good option because it is a tax protected savings account.
Mm.
So what that means is you are going to have a really high deductible.
Right.
Your premium's probably going to be low. Mm. So the money that comes out of your paycheck to pay for the plan is usually pretty low. But you do have a high deductible.
Right.
So for your insurance to kick in, You got to meet that deductible. But importantly, there is often an HSA or HRA account with it. Sometimes they call it HRA, PCA, whatever acronyms they want to use, some kind of account with it. And with that account, the fun part is that the insurance and your employer will give you some money. Like, they will put money in that account for you. And that could be, I don't know, $500 to $1,200 for a single person. And that money can be used for those expenses that come up before your deductible is met.
Right.
So you've got a low premium, so you don't have a lot of money coming out of your paycheck. And then there's like, let's say $1,000 sitting in a bank account. So, okay, you have a doctor's visit. And let's say it was $150. Well, you've got $1,000 in a bank account that's just for healthcare expenses. So you don't have to meet, like, you don't have to pay that out of pocket.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And then can you explain what those tax benefits were again?
Yeah. So we talked about this depending on, like, let's say you're in a 20% tax bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're going to spend $1,000 on healthcare every year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get taxed on all the money that you make at, let's say, the 20% tax bracket. What a health savings account does, or an FSA does, is it lets you take that money and sort of protect it from being taxed on. So 20% of $1,000. Oh, got to do math now.
I went to law school, girl. We don't do math there.
So $200. Right? $200 is money that you are saving, basically, like that you're not giving to Uncle Sam, on money you were going to spend anyway on health, like health stuff.
Right.
Okay. What's cool about the health savings account is that you can put money in and the IRS will tell you how much. Let's say it's like $7,500 or something. You can put in about $7,500 a year, and that money grows tax-free.
Mm.
So it's like a Roth IRA. So
you can
kind of see how this can be a tax savings vehicle for retirement. So when you get to retirement age, you can pull that money out and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can use that money for health-related expenses. That's totally fine also. But again, it's protected from being taxed. So I have actually been in a high deductible HSA account for several years and I maxed that thing out. I maxed it out because I'm like, you know, I maxed out my retirement accounts. This is just another way for you to sort of protect yourself from giving money to Uncle Sam because we work hard for that money.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta keep it.
Period.
I guess real quick before we close up is talk about a flexible savings account, which is something that some jobs will offer where it's similar. Like, let's say you have a normal healthcare plan and it's not a high deductible. Sometimes you can still get a flexible savings account where they take the money out, you know, before you get your paycheck and put it in this protected account for healthcare expenses. That's a little bit different than an HSA because you can't contribute additionally to it. It's like you just say, I'm going to put this much money in every year, and that's it. You're kind of like stuck with that amount. And sometimes that money, like if you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. So just be careful of that. Sort of look out for that with your workplace. Every place is a little different with their rules.
Right.
And then you also want to look at what are the allowed expenses for that. So is a massage included in that account or no? You know, that's not included. Is toothpaste included? You know, stuff like that is so, and you'd be surprised how many things that you buy every day would be included in your FSA.
Yeah.
So again, it's just another way to save taxes.
Work.
On stuff that you would have been spending anyways. So I hope that made sense. I know it's a lot of acronyms, and I've made it a little like cheat sheet with like infographic with kind of ideas on how to choose a plan for you and your family. So we'll upload that to the show notes. And of course, you know, hit us up if you have any questions.
Yeah. And that being said, you know, we're not sponsored by any insurance companies or anything.
Says the lawyer, right?
Yeah, right. Like we're not trying to get you to go, you know, get a particular one. You know, we're just trying to educate you, or she's trying to educate you about the process a bit because, you know, there's people like me that are just uneducated about it.
Yeah, most people don't look at their health insurance plans, and the new year starts, and then they go to their pharmacy, and they're like, what? I gotta pay how much? Last year I didn't have to pay that much. So please educate yourself on what you're signing up for when you sign up for your insurance plan.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck and good health to you in the new year.
All right. This has been Katamita. Thank you so much, and we hope to see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.